and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Justin Tyler, Pete LePage, and Alex Zobel!
Hey! Wow. Our new announcer, Don Pardo.
Yeah, that had like a little ghost.
That guy was great.
Really good.
I don't think he was great. I don't want to say he was great.
No, he was really great. I mean, you know, just for years, I feel like we've had announcers for the show that didn't sound as good as that.
Yeah. Oh,
and then that just sounded great.
It's great. He talks from the very end of his nose.
What?
The sound goes up his nose and then out and down out of his mouth.
That was the most actory thing you've ever said in any intro.
Well, I'm a...
Oh, God, don't.
Good man.
Hey, yeah!
Who's also a classic trained actor. Thank you, guys.
Shit.
Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
I'm Alex. And this is Comic Book Club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I've been away for a couple of weeks or whatever, but this is very circular, the way you guys open up the show.
Yeah, well, we want to cover all the bases. It's all about branding. Hashtag Comic Book Club. Hashtag Pete LePage. Hashtag Alex's nasal voice.
How was Germany?
Germany was good. I was in Berlin for the Berlin International Film Festival, which had literally nothing to do with comics.
Oh,
at one point, I considered going to a comic book store, but then I didn't.
That's bullshit.
What a bummer.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What a bummer answer to that question.
Sorry.
Why would you even bring that up?
I got to meet Bill Murray. That was pretty cool.
Nice.
Doesn't have much to do with comic books, but he is an awesome, funny dude, as you'd probably imagine.
I agree with that, except I saw Monuments Men this weekend. That movie is terrible.
Oh, man, really?
Really bad.
I saw Grand Budapest Hotel. That movie is great.
That's great.
You guys meeting us two, different people.
You and I?
Yeah.
Well, those are different movies.
Sure are. I really don't understand what's going on in the show. Do we talk about comic books?
Yeah, we should. We should also introduce our guest.
Right. Speaking of our guest, very excited to have him back on the show. And for me, this is my first experience having on the show because I wasn't here the last time.
What a treat.
He's the co-creator of the excellent comic Aliens vs. Parker. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Giovannetti.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Great to have you back, man.
Thank you, sir. Great to be back.
Now, did I screw up your name? I actually forgot to ask before...
No, I'm sure it's fine.
No. All right.
I don't really know how to pronounce my name myself.
It's got a ton of consonants in it.
I flunked the kindergarten a lot. I didn't
know
how to spell my name.
How much?
Yeah, you're in like third grade now, right?
Actually passed. I was pretending.
Imagination is one of the key components.
And that's kind of incredible that you can get a comic published and only have a second grade education. Though that explains a lot.
Yeah. No. Paul has the words. I send little like symbols. He tries to interpret.
Yeah. So tell us about Aliens vs. Parker. I know the trade just came out.
That's right. Last week just came out. We're really excited to have the trade just because I think it's a much better bulk run. It was conceived as like a self-contained miniseries. So it's always better to just do that. Plus, our first issue was real slow. This was our first comic book. so we really didn't know how to do it yet, and pacing wise it just keeps getting better and better as it goes, as we've figured it out. We were kind of utterly clueless when we started. We had read comics for years, but it's just a whole other beast. But to answer your questions, Aliens versus Parker is sort of like slacker delivery guys in space who get caught up in sort of an aliens type movie with space marines and giant alien wangs, which is not in Aliens per se.
No,
but there was
watching a different version of Aliens.
Well, there was a giant alien vagina in Aliens for the queen, so we kind of went the other way.
Oh, I was watching Aslians. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
Aslians?
Lovely.
Aslians, yes.
Great movie.
Yeah, really good.
Great special effects. Really realistic.
I'm curious about what point you guys figured out that you were kind of doing it, not necessarily wrong, but not exactly right, and how you course corrected.
It was the type of thing where we had this larger story. It was being told in a couple different formats. At first, we were going to do it all online. Then we were going to do it a trade. Then it was going to be five books. Then it was going to be four. So basically, as the books kept going down, we realized, we're nowhere where we should be right now. We have to. We had it already plotted out, so we knew how we had to get there. And just by kind of reading it, issue two, we were like, this is better. This is it. This is the blueprint now. So every time it got better.
And comedy is a weird thing in comic books too, right? Figuring out the pacing for that?
Yeah, I learned the hard way why there's very few comedy books in comic books. And it's just you don't have room to kind of set up the jokes. It's kind of like you're constantly moving to the next point. With AVP, we had to constantly decide between, you know, this is supposed to be kind of a scary horror thing, and then it's supposed to be funny. And it's kind of – both of those things require time to kind of set it up. So we always kind of erred on comedy because it's easy – you know, it's easier for us to write comedy. And at a certain point, if you laugh, we did okay. So –
hey, you did okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly.
I would like to rebut what you said a little bit.
Sorry, what's going on with your hat, Pete?
For those of you listening, Pete was just handed a turquoise Punisher hat.
I really liked your first issue. I don't know why you said
it
wasn't.
It.
Yeah, what's the
you
deal
know
what? With
it's,
that hat?
It's not that it's bad. We just know that based on where it went, it's slow. But I love it all.
You got the classic kind of like slacker scenario, which is fun and great comedy. But then you have the introduction of kind of a love interest in the first issue, but also sets up this whole kind of space thing. I
appreciate it. Like, I think it works better in as a trade where you're less noticeable. I think for people who came in cold, they were just like, where are the aliens? Right. You know, why isn't anything happening?
Think there are a lot of Parker fans who are coming in for the first time?
Yeah. You know, they were all on the Parker Lewis Can't Lose comic. We couldn't bring them over.
That is great.
Yeah. I wish.
Great comic.
Season 5.
Now, so much happens.
Let's see what happens with Kubiak.
Yeah.
I mean, I was waiting for a trench coat that just had everything in there, and then it just never showed up.
Yeah.
Speaking of clothing, things you wear, what's your opinion on wearing hats inside? Do you think that's rude?
Oh, no, not when it's a Punisher.
Well, and let me say
it's
before
turquoise, so it's like, it's kind of hipstery. You know, it's like he's trying. Is that a trucker hat, too?
Before we go too much further, Pete, I don't know. I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't think I've taken you less seriously than right now.
Wow.
I didn't think that was possible.
I like how like Punisher slippers you're okay with, but I wear
okay with that. And if you remember, I made fun of you relentlessly about those.
I'm sure you did.
When your Punisher slippers, when they fell apart, did you re-sew them into that hat?
No, I just cleaned them, and because I still have them. It's been so nasty outside, I didn't want to ruin my Punisher slippers.
You don't have to wear them here. You can put them in your bag.
But still, the stage is kind of, you know.
You don't have to wander around the city in freezing cold temperature with Punisher slippers on,
don't
screaming,
tell me how to wear
Dr. Octopus is killing Spider-Man. Because those are the ravings of the little lunatic.
I'm just going to take this off so we can talk to our guests, and then I'll put it back
What's
on
up with your hair?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's weird.
Sweet swag you had
for
a minute.
I'm sure you're getting this a lot, but now that you've finished this off, you have the trade coming out, what's next?
Potentially, I think Paul and I are trying to decide on, you know, what we might do next. We always like working together, so we might try another comic book, maybe for a different company, maybe another series with Parker. It's still kind of up in the air. It always depends on, like, how the book sells and, you know, if people want it. Certainly, there have been enough people that have asked about it that it feels nice. It's better than, you know, everyone who just went, like, boo, stop writing.
That's a negative reaction.
Yeah.
Now that you do have that experience with a comic book, do you feel that's affected the way you approach pitches at all? That there are certain things that you would only pitch for a comic book, or does it not matter?
I think it just depends on the story you kind of want to tell. It's like sometimes whenever you get into the to be a shitty serious answer, whatever the story you think of, you try to fit the medium to what it is. So if you have an idea about an alcoholic cop, then you're just like, okay, well, can I do that in comics? Can I do that in whatever? It's just, if you want to do it. If you're a comic book writer, obviously every idea you have should probably
Can I just take up drinking and go to the police academy?
Yeah.
And just live that.
Like in the movie.
Yeah, live the movie.
Yeah.
Live the ride.
Police Academy. Live the movie.
Yeah, man. I've been trying to live it all my life. I'm bad with sound effects.
Do your voices.
Yeah. Wow, I'm Hightower.
No, that's not what I meant.
Isn't that good?
Not what I meant.
You mean do the funny sound effects?
Yeah, do the funny sound effects.
Oh, I don't know. I'm bad at those. I just use real sounds.
A classically trained actor would be able to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what sound effect that was, but it's for you.
That was pretty
sweet. I liked it. So where can people pick up the book?
It's on Amazon. It's on Comixology. It's at your local brick-and-mortar stores if you like to support them.
And also some lucky fans who are here are going to get some copies of the the comic of the series. They're
minutes away
four.
From Alien Wang in their life.
Yeah!
Nice. And that's right. A prediction of a totally different kind.
Yes.
There we go. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah!
And in The Stack, we're going to talk about some books that came out this week that we particularly liked. First one up, Pete's Hat. actually, we're going to talk about Punisher number one from Marvel Comics.
Yeah!
By Nathan Edmondson. And I think the way that we're going to do this is we're going to have a rebuttal for me involving Black Widow number three, also by Nathan Edmondson, which also came out this week.
You guys are having an Edmondson off.
You want to talk about Punisher number one and why it sucked?
No, I'm not going to talk about why it sucked. I'm going to talk about why it's awesome. All right.
Okay.
You can have your opinions, but please hold on.
Wow. You just boiled the show down to that.
when you use the word awesome, I thought you were describing Black Widow number three.
Nope, I was not. We're not talking about that comic right now. This was, first of all, it was a great depiction of Punisher. He was drawn what I feel is accurately.
He has a full head of hair.
What about him is more accurate?
No, I'm just saying before we've seen him as kind of a younger anime character, which I didn't enjoy. This one, it looked like the Punisher. It felt like the Punisher. Had a great tone to it.
He loved diner food like the Punisher does.
Yeah,
exactly. Punisher does.
Cool shades.
Punisher eats, guys.
Does the Punisher
and
wear
journals?
Cool shades?
Yeah. Yeah, about dreams.
He's always journaling, as we learned.
Punisher's
last week.
Dream journal.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I thought this. Not only was this issue a solid first issue, it was also hilarious.
Okay.
There was this real funny moment where Punisher takes a giant rocket launcher and blows up all these villains, and I laughed out loud.
Let me ask you, where
did you learn this way of thinking of comedy?
You remember that Three Stooges short where they slit Curly's throat?
Yeah, and they're like, we're having a great time, and that's when Shep came in.
That's what you call heightening.
That's your classic heightening. Right. Punchline doesn't have to involve actual fist.
I just thought this was
great.
I thought this was great compared to Black Widow, which wasn't. I thought.
Okay.
The reason I liked this compared to Black Widow.
This is
so
like
Black Widow.
Some
Black
crossfire Widow. Shit. Just like
all right, fine.
Thank you.
Fine.
So that always works, by the way. So the reason I brought them up together, I think, is that Punisher's fine, but there's nothing new or exciting happening here. On the other hand, in Black Widow,
the rocket launcher, like he said, which was hilarious.
Yeah, thank you.
But it's just kind of goofy and like every other Punisher story
ever. Did you think of the rocket launcher as being hilarious? That might be the difference. I didn't. He's put me onto something new.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at Punisher in an entirely different light. I did not know
he's America's clown. He's America's clown.
Pete and I also have a very different opinion.
By the way, when are you going to officially call this show Pete versus everyone else? Because that's the one constant of every week is Pete is going to take a stance that's almost indefendable.
When we cast the role of Pete, we put in backstage looking for crazy idiot for a eight plus year time limit.
And a young British actor by the name of Pete LePage, who had extensive study at RADA, came in and said, I can inhabit that pod.
Yeah. And boy, has he.
So here's my point. Black Widow is a fantastic comic book, also by Nathan Edmondson. I've never really cared about that character too much, and I feel like he gets her contrast completely. He gets the contrast between her being a superhero and being a spy, sends her on these very dark adventures that are done in one, and it feels like nothing I've read about the character before.
Nope.
On the other hand, here we're getting a Punisher tale that feels like a light version of what we just got from Greg Rucka.
No, that's ridiculous. All right, so Black Widow... This comic showed the Punisher being the Punisher.
Black Widow showed the Punisher.
No, I'm saying
that doesn't make any sense.
No, would you give me a fucking second?
Never.
So the Punisher comic showed the Punisher being the Punisher. The Black Widow comic showed the Black Widow sucking. She was struggling the whole comic. She was falling. She got her gun sliced in half. She sucked.
So
she didn't even let the cat in the goddamn room at the end.
Okay, like, I'm sorry. So your definition of exciting drama is when the main character has no problems?
No. My point is that in this comic, you got to see the in the Punisher comic, you got to see the Punisher being the Punisher, which I thought was very enjoyable. But the Black Widow comic, we saw her struggle and suck through all of it.
Dad.
Yeah.
Relax. I'll fix this.
Okay.
All right.
Both of these books are great. And you're both crazy idiots. I do think both these books are very good. The Black Widow book, it's a different type of storytelling. Yes, she has problems, but that's part of the book, I think, is her trying to figure her life out.
No, but
just wait a second. The Art is Beautiful by Phil Noto. It's a slower paced story, so maybe that's why you don't like it, because you're a crazy idiot. And the
Stop
Punisher book.
Stop calling me an idiot. I'm going to punch you.
You are crazy. The Punisher book, on the other hand, is that fun. A lot happens. The Punisher's very good at his work, which I feel like is less struggle, which is maybe why you don't like it, because you're a crazy idiot. But if you like, and it's written by the same guy, and I think he is purposely taking these characters on two different journeys, but they're both good journeys.
Okay.
Son, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
But
and
it was,
ladies and gentlemen, The Crucible.
The Crucible.
It was what? Interesting, though, because we were talking about both of them. I was flipping through both of them at the same time. They both are swimming.
Yeah. Hold up.
Yeah,
hold
your
on,
eyes
hold
rolled
on.
Back in your head.
Hold on.
They
I'm
were
sorry.
Both swimming can at I the same mention, time, which was
can
weird.
Can I just mention one of the problems with maybe you're having is that you read two comics at exactly the same time?
Well, I read them. But I read them. I read Punisher first. And
well,
then
how
Black
do
Widow.
You masturbate to them if you don't lay them out all in front of you?
That's true. That's yeah. Right. That's right.
I mean, that's
you need to, you need to right. surprise yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever page you finish on is who gets, you know, who you had sex with.
I like
yeah.
that comic you know, this week a lot.
Yeah.
I like that one the most.
Yeah. I'm really into hot red-haired girls with skulls on their T-shirts who are actually guys.
What?
Fetish.
That was weird.
Yeah.
What do you
though.
Think about Punisher? I know you very specifically read this.
Punisher's all right. It's like he's never been my jam. Like, but like it's a like it was a good book.
All right.
I've just always felt like. You know, like, it's just that character has never spoken to me like maybe other ones have in the universe. But I thought that
in
issue
the universe.
Was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I
a,
agree
that's
with you.
The thing. Like, you want
I like the cliffhanger. I'm interested in what happens with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the idea of cliffhangers.
Yeah.
So that's good.
All right. There we go. Let's move on with the DC book. Talk about Action Comics number 28.
Yeah.
DC.
I like how you're confirmed it. Yeah. 28?
This, I don't know.
No, it is 28.
I haven't liked a Superman book in a long time. And I'll tell you what, I like this one. It's by Greg Pak, excuse
yeah.
me.
Greg Pak.
Greg Pak and is
He's
it Aaron Kruder doing on art?
Aaron Kruder, yeah.
Kruder. It's fantastic. It's such a fun book. It's Superman having great adventures. He's been in a subterranean world. He's got Lana Lang. They have a great interplay between the two of them. We
Whoa.
Get in both their heads. There's some heat here.
Yeah,
there's some real potential for love.
Now, I'm curious, Pete. Yep. You used to be Greg Pak's biggest fan.
No, don't say used to
and
be.
Then and you betrayed him.
That's
recently.
Not true.
You did. You
I
had
did
a
not.
You had a pocket talk.
No,
yeah, by
I did
saying
not.
That Batman Superman was kind of stupid.
No.
So I'm curious nope. to hear what you thought about this.
You're an asshole.
You horrible hypocrite.
Yeah.
No, you're an asshole. What I said was that I didn't like the art.
Traitor.
On
yeah.
his
you're
book,
like, you're
he
like,
pulled me out of the story. That has nothing to do with his writing.
You're really Chris Christie-ing this moment right no. now.
You won't be able to get home because it's going to be a traffic jam.
So you did like this?
Yes, I very much did like
now,
this.
Now, are you saying that just because you're on the Pak spot?
No. Nope.
Are
nope.
you?
No.
So what did you like about it?
Well, first off, I thought it was kind of a fun, like, underworld adventure. But the classic scenario of, like, never trust the little cute, fuzzy, you know, you knew those guys were going to be evil. It's just a matter
of time.
No,
they're not evil. They're nice.
Yeah.
No.
I agree with you. I love Greg Pak's run on Action Comics so far.
Yeah.
This is by far the best Superman has been, possibly since Grant Morrison.
I agree.
On All-Star Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not his stuff with the New 52. But
yeah, that was bad.
This feels like one of the first writers that really gets what makes Superman wonderful.
Yeah.
He makes sure in every issue to have a moment where Superman is put into the situation that he should not be able to get out of, and he shows his essential goodness and gets out of it. And
plus,
it's great.
I feel like this is the first Superman I've seen where he actually feels young. Like, uh-huh. all the other books are like, look how young and brash he is. And in this one, he actually feels young and feels like he is just sort of figuring himself out.
I thought he was pretty young when he had just a T-shirt and jeans. He was real young. I kind of identified with that one the most.
Well, I read that book, and I was like, oh, it's some, like, weird old man wearing a T-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
It's like a guy, like, I'm going to go to this Bare Naked Ladies concert.
topical.
Yeah.
That's sometimes my favorite part about comics is the very, very dated
Still cool.
They get put in sometimes. Yeah.
To be fair, in this issue, he exclaims, "Hey, Macarena!" Really loud.
Yeah,
which is weird.
That's coming
back. To your point about his age, that's a lot up to Aaron Cooter's art, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
it's big. It's clear. Part of the reason I think of the Grant Morrison comparison is it's like Frank Quitely without ripping off Frank Quitely.
Yeah,
it's great. If you're not reading Action Comics, please do pick it up.
I really think that the art does a great job of, especially Superman's face. Like, there's a couple moments where you're just hearing what he's thinking, but the art so perfectly crystallizes those words. It really kind of is magical.
Oh shit! I just got a text from Greg Pak, Pete. He wanted me to tell you, like, no matter what you say, it's still over.
Oh, that's fucked up, and that's not true.
Oh, no, it's true.
You're
I got
just
that
holding
text.
Your pants. Huh? You don't really have a phone in there.
That's not how you get texts? All right, let's move on with one of your picks. New Avengers, number 14.
Marvel Comics by Jonathan Hickman. All of the Avengers books right now are this sort of long crossover almost where all these epic things are happening. This book focusing on Doctor Strange and another Earth that's colliding. There's this whole ongoing thing that they're dimensional Earths. They're colliding with other Earths, and it threatens to wipe out the entire 616 universe. The Illuminati are there trying to save the day. They've had to make moral compromises. There's these aliens that are robots that show up. It's all fucked up.
Yeah, it's really very accessible stuff.
Super accessible.
Right.
And in this one, we meet characters from another Earth. They don't tell you where they're from or what's the
deal. Doesn't matter where they're from.
Yeah. Exactly, because it's
a weird structure that Jonathan Hickman is using, because the past three or four issues have been the exact same issue, repeated with slightly different characters and slightly new information, which is kind of strange.
It is strange, and this one's about Doctor Strange, and this one's very good because it's about Doctor Strange sort of making a deal with the devil.
A very sexy devil.
Sexy devil.
Yeah.
Best kind of, most trustworthy devil to make a deal with. I do think these are dense, big books, but it's really working for me. I think
that's
it's really
how
good.
Hickman rolls. He likes to do big kind of things, it seems like.
What do you think about this, Nick?
Listen, you put Illuminati in anything, I'm down. You make it Marvel Illuminati, it's like hitting him right in my wheelhouse.
Because you're a member of the Illuminati?
Let's not do this on a podcast. I'm gonna make a joke and say yes, because you always must hide in plain sight.
Nice. Yeah, true. And on a podcast is the most plain sight you can
be. Yeah, totally. And then saying that I might be. I love what Hickman's doing. It's super complex. Like, there have been times where I kind of go, like, what is this? Like, I can't. Yeah. So many different alien races, so many things going on, especially out of the big sort of storyline they did recently. But it's like, I just love it. I eat it up, especially the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Cool.
Can we talk about the art for a second here?
The cover is beautiful.
No time? All right. Well, I don't want to kill his – how do you pronounce his name? Does someone want to help me with that?
Jonathan Hickman?
No,
Hickman.
The artist.
Oh, I don't actually know.
Simone Bianchi?
Hickman.
No,
it's Simone Bianchi.
Yeah, Bianchi. All right. So anyways, what I love about – some of his panels are amazing, and I'm really into it, but some of his panels – like, there's so much going on, it's hard to discern where I should be looking. Does that make sense? It's almost so dense, I kind of get lost in his art.
You get lost in his art.
Yeah, nice. That's what I just said.
What a great place to be.
Yeah, well, I just feel like sometimes his art is so clear and so amazing, especially, like, a lot of the action stuff he does and, like, kind of one-person panels are very powerful. But then when there's a lot of characters, it's almost so detailed, I don't know where...
Well, if you just read it, instead of reading nine comics at once, it would be easier to pay attention.
Oh,
just read
one at one
time.
Yeah, were you reading this while you were reading Black Widow and Punisher?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Your Pete's morning download of information.
He has like 13 screens in front of him.
He's on the subway just minority reporting on his way into the city.
Yeah, that's how I read
topical.
Subway.
Topical? Drifting into the late 90s?
Sure. We're getting there.
We'll catch up with the present day.
We're almost up to Crazy for You.
Oh my God!
Cool, man. That's the cool dude.
Last thing we're going to
send you guys a lexicon of our terms.
So this is an issue that comes out tomorrow, so we're going to get a little spoilery about it. But
spoiler alert!
But this is Batman number 28 from DC Comics, which comes out tomorrow, or if you're listening to it right now, I guess. This is taking a break from the middle of the Batman Zero Year epic to flash forward about 50 weeks into the future, which is kind of crazy.
Not 52 weeks, just 50
No,
weeks.
Just 50. So Scott Snyder said there's a weekly Batman title that's going to release starting in April called Batman Eternal. And this is what he calls essentially issue 39.5. So this is jumping
ballsy
really,
one to
really, really far forward.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about this?
I'm lost.
Why would he say 39.5? That seems so
because
like
it takes place between issue 39
because Marvel point ones and he wants to point 5 now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Would it make it easier if it was like a 39 point now?
No, yeah. Just say 39, man.
Like, well, no, because there will be an issue 39, and there will be an issue 40, and this one's in between those two.
Oh, right. Okay, all right.
I mean, we'll talk about numbers after this.
Yeah, yeah. Please help me with that.
I thought this was great. I actually kind of don't want to spoil everything that goes on here, but there are at least three super cool moments that fans have been asking for a very, very long time.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you have
especially one?
No, I mean, I loved it. It's a little bit jarring because I was not expecting the flash forward. So when Harper showed up, that I will spoil that one. Harper shows up.
Yeah.
I was a little bit kind of confused that she was like ageless because I thought it was still back in the beginning. But yeah, I loved it. I think it's kind of cool. I love what Snyder's doing on Batman, have for a while. Although I'm not super into the Zero Year arc. Uh-huh. I love some of the stories, but it's the first two arcs he had were incredible.
Yeah.
And it looks like this one's bringing it like right back to like full steam Snyder.
Totally.
Goodness.
I'm curious.
And also, spoiler alert.
Yes.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, without getting into too many spoilers, I'm curious to hear what you thought about the last page.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's hard to talk about it without spoiling it. I think across the board, the issue was really cool. There's some great gadgetry in this, which I thought was really cool. It does feel like the future without being like obnoxiously like everyone's made of lasers or something. So that was
is that going to happen?
I think so.
That's what I think, but I'm not a member of the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. nothing. I mean, got nothing on
if you were meant to know the answer, you would.
Shit.
Fair enough.
Well, just wait till I show up here for the show.
What did you think
lasers.
About this book?
This was kind of a cool look forward in a way that was great because it didn't really – it was so different from what's going on right now. I didn't feel like it was ruining any of the great stuff happening or kind of teasing in a way that like, oh, I know where things are headed. I felt like this was kind of like a cool outside future step that got that was very exciting. It was like every three or four pages was a really cool reveal.
This just made me want to stop reading Zero Year and get started right on this.
Get started. Or you can read
because this is something new and exciting. And Zero Year, it's kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know what the closing is. But with this, it's just like I don't know anything about it. I just want to know where this goes.
Yeah. It was a real Stephanie round forward.
Did you just go crazy?
Yeah, I think I'm a crazy idiot.
Yeah, you are.
Nice. Spoiler.
And that's it for the step.
Woo!
Yeah. All right, guys, we are going to move to my favorite section, and it's my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to go over to me.
Yeah. Alex Albin, the new booth man, as we know.
Oh, am I the new booth man?
Yep.
All right, so start thinking about some questions, you guys. The way this works is questions about anything in geek culture, in comic books, anything like that, and you're going to get some free comics from Pete LePage's personal collection.
Yep, so be careful.
Pete, why are you giving away so many copies of my comic? That's kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I wanted to get people addicted to it.
I appreciate that, but I wanted you to have three copies
of
each issue.
Pete's fighting with another person.
Oh, man.
Pete versus everybody.
Actually, sorry, guys.
As mentioned, if you're sitting here in the audience, you're going to get some copies of Aliens versus Parker, which is pretty cool. So raise your hand if you got a question. Yes, you, sir, right here in the front.
Hey, so this question comes from rereading some of the old Swamp Thing in the 80s and seeing how different the art was. How do you guys feel like that the changing of art styles and the higher production value has affected the writing and the story types in comics, if at all?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, I was more prepared to answer if She-Hulk gives me a boner, and the answer is yes.
Okay.
I'm glad you still got
well,
that in there.
Well, here's your copy of Aliens versus Parker. Yeah. Well, I was rereading Sandman recently, and
I'm a well-educated
person.
I like Preacher.
Yep, and I like to talk about comics and bars. Anyway, I think the art is a little makes it harder to read, especially now the way I feel like art is so much more clean.
Yeah, I think it's just like movies. At a certain point, you know, things get faster, things get better, and
art reflects the time.
Yeah, and it's like there's always a disconnect when you watch an old movie. It's hard to
You were talking about the pacing earlier. I mean, if you go even further back to comics from like the 30s or 40s, there's a very different and more concrete grid structure there that reads in an entirely different way than a comic does now.
Well, it's basically like page one, guy steals stuff. Page two, why I oughta.
Well, even beyond that, you have, definitely 9, if not 12 panels on every page in a grid. Now, if you're doing 5 panels on a page, that's just too much. So there's that.
Yeah. I think it is harder to go back and enjoy the comics like you're talking about Swamp Thing. Is that what you mean?
Enjoy or not, because I still love that one. Just like how you feel it's affected.
So I'm sorry, you're saying you do not like Swamp Thing and Alan Moore?
Oh, sucks? Boo that man!
Wow, real Geraldo moment for Alex.
Saying, but if you want me to say that,
oh, he's saying it.
Yeah,
he's saying it.
Yeah, just in general, like, yeah, not really whether it's better or worse, but how you feel it's affected it. Although personal opinions is cool, and whether you like it or not.
No, we don't get personal.
Sometimes, for me, it's like when you smell a certain kind of food where it brings you back to a specific place. Like when you read,
let's get into it a little bit, Pete. What are some foods?
Just let me finish, you
Pete,
asshole.
I'm going to throw out some food types, and you tell me where it takes you.
Okay, like
mustard. Mustard.
I don't want to go where mustard takes me.
Burger King fries.
Burger King fries, Pete.
It's Great Dance.
Oh, shit, what happened?
Yeah. Anyways.
Wait. McDonald's fries.
Yesterday.
Really ran the gamut there.
No, but what I like about this question is that...
Caviar.
When you have... I've never had that.
The future, then.
Yeah, the future. Yeah, exactly. When you have a comic that you really like that might be older, sometimes when you pick up another comic, it can remind you of that kind of time period or whatever, because at certain times they all kind of drew the same or whatever. But I think that it can either pull you out or bring you back to a place and make it so much more enjoyable because it is so different from the art now.
All right. Well said.
Pizza.
She-Hulk gives me a boner.
Yeah!
That answers the question.
There you go.
Who else has a question? Raise your hand. Yes, you, sir, over here.
Does She-Hulk give you a boner? No, I'm just kidding. If you...
I don't know ever joke about boners, sir.
If you're going to get a tattoo of a comic book symbol, what would you get and why?
I have come very close to getting the Jack Knight Starman... He has a black skull right...
Why are you pointing at your junk?
That's where he has it. On him, he has it right here. A black
skull. You would get that right above your nuts.
It wouldn't be above my nuts.
Just a quick question, and I know those of you at home can't see this. Where are your nuts?
Pete, I don't know if you've seen it.
When you're pointing right here, that's above your nuts.
There's a lot of body above your nuts.
No,
your nuts.
He has a six pack of nuts that run down the front of his body.
Oh my God!
Touch his stomach.
Guys.
It's all nuts.
Is this above my nuts?
Yes.
My head.
Yes.
Very protective of his.
Your eyebrows are above your nuts.
You describe your body like, I had this pain. It's like a foot or two above my nuts. I think it's about I'm having a heart attack.
We have to get back to the question.
Well, I was trying to answer it before you got all weird.
No, you were the one pointing at your junk, talking about
In Starman, Jack Knight has a black skull on his hip, and it looks cool. And I almost got it on my body, which was the question. So, Pete, would you just a full Punisher mask over your face, or what?
No, I would like to get, like, a full back tattoo.
Of what?
Of the skull.
Really?
Really?
I don't know. We're talking hypothetical.
You're going to crush it in prison.
So you would want it 180 degrees and above your nuts?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
How about you?
I don't know. I've actually never really thought about it, but I guess the transmode virus would be pretty cool, right?
God. You want to be Cypher in
so bad.
So far that you would tattoo the transmode virus.
I think it would be neat if it was like coming out of my nuts or whatever.
Yeah, that's where it starts.
I think you would have to really decide if you ever want to have sex with self-respect for the rest of your life.
Sure. I mean, that's a good decision to make in general.
Yeah, and then also,
we made a decision about that 7 years
ago. No matter how
ago.
Much you like the Red Skull, do not get a swastika. That's just a bad idea. You should. That's
well,
possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's an obvious.
Yeah.
Great. So you want to get a...
I don't. I don't have any tattoos.
You know, it'd be super sweet.
Well, what
sweet.
Would you want to get?
I wouldn't want to get a comic book tattoo.
You have,
yeah,
to,
I have to.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm in question. Prison, then yes, a Red Skull swastika.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I like how you started by saying, whatever you do, don't get a
don't
Red Skull.
Don't do it.
Well, if I had to get
listen,
one.
And let's be fair, the neo-Nazis in prison are going to be like, is that a Red Skull fucking
listen,
swastika? Because we're going to murder you.
I'm going to go like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but it's pretty cool that he's got Professor X's brain right now, isn't it?
That's true. Good point.
It would be pretty sweet to get Arnim Zola's face tattooed on your tummy right above your nuts. Yes,
that's a great.
Yeah.
The fact that you were rubbing your tummy was just kind of freaking me out.
That. Yeah, it's
why? Zola loves belly rubs just as much as anyone.
Yeah. Probably Zola, more, I would
face,
say.
Rub my screen face.
Cool. You're going to get some free comics, which it looks like you already did, or you're not going
they're
to.
Shared,
I don't know
they
what's
share
going
them.
On. Who else has a question? Raise your hand.
You
yes.
A couple. Oh,
yes, sir,
so many.
Come up here, so.
What do you feel is the worst aspect of the comic book industry?
Ooh,
worst boy. Aspect of the comic
that
book
question.
Industry?
No, that was a fine question.
I mean, there's obvious stuff. Like
Greg Pak.
Why don't they get shit right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Why they keep whiffing?
Why they keep changing stuff?
Yeah.
Why is Dr. Ock Spider-Man?
Well, I think that...
Why is Wally West not the Flash? Why do they do? They don't do what I like?
You know, it hurts when you're making fun of our show to our face.
No, he's making fun of you, I think.
Sure. Either way, it hurts.
I think that actually does point to, I wish things didn't always have to go back to sort of status quo. I want things to move and change. And
one guy agrees with you.
That's okay. That's just one of many, maybe, someday.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's such a protected, the brands are so protected that you can't ever stray too far from the story of Spider-Man before you have to sort of snap back. That harms the storytelling because you can't really change too much.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of a similar thing, but I wish, and I feel like they're getting towards this, but I wish storytellers could tell the story they wanted to tell and that's it. You know, I understand for the comic book industry, you got to have continuous comics every single month. But I'd rather see something like Young Avengers where Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey tell the story they want to tell over a certain number of issues, and then they're done.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they did it like BBC television. So you just did an arc and you came back. I mean, I'm sure it's like they have some type of formula that says why that doesn't work. But, yeah, I think that would be better that you told the story when you had it rather than kind of pushing yourself to constantly write stuff. Because no matter how good the book is, it's going to go down south eventually.
I would also like to see less of the
hats.
No, less of the perfect body type as far as men and women, and also more diversity as far as.
Wouldn't you also like to see someone who looks just like you that's the Punisher's new best friend?
Yeah. Yes, I would.
Hey, man, are you going to kill
that one
me?
Yeah,
don't worry about the other body types. Let's make that one happen first.
That's the one you want. Cool. If you were Punisher's best friend, you think you'd be like, you'd be riding next to him or like you'd just polish his guns?
Oh, he'd polish his gun all right.
Oh, boy.
Hey-o.
Zinger.
Yeah. I would just hope to try
not because
to
it's
kill
weird out of respect.
Oh, you'd be killing people.
Yeah, I would just be, you know, straight up.
Like a sidekick.
Yeah, I would just be like, hey, Punisher, why don't you sit this one out? I'll kill everybody.
Oh, so you'd be like.
He'd be Little Pun.
Yeah, Kid Punisher.
Yeah. Little Pun.
Big Pun?
All right, this is ridiculous.
Why? It's your dream.
Cool. Who else has a question? You're going to get some comics?
Get a couple in the backside.
What series if any, that's been canceled in the last year or so, will you miss the most?
Oh, nice.
That involves remembering things.
So much remembering.
Yeah, I smoke too much weed to remember things.
To remember what the question you just asked was.
She-Hulk something? I mean,
Lock and Key doesn't count, right? Because it wasn't canceled. Itself.
It ended amazingly.
The first one that comes to mind for me is the Winter Soldier. Jason Latour had just taken it over writing, and it was really cool. The art was really different. It was going in a very interesting direction. I thought that was very cool. I was bummed to see that go.
It's not. I'm gonna have to because I can't remember something that was within the year. But I miss the Blue Beetle arc and series that we all love much.
Digging way back.
Yeah. That was to me. I wish they could bring that back because it was really amazing.
Scarlet Spider recently canceled. I really like that series.
Yeah, oh, I like that. I didn't know it was canceled. I kind of read everything in chunks. So I sometimes binge read. Yeah. I think my favorite thing would have been Aliens versus Parker because I enjoy getting paychecks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not canceled, but it would be nice if that gravy train was still running because, you know, small imprint comic book money is the best money.
It's the hardest earned.
Cool. Any other questions? I saw one over here. Here, come on over.
Do you guys know any funny books? Like, is there any, like, funny titles that are, like, that jump out to you that you'd recommend or... Are there just, like, individual stories that are funnier, or, I mean, I don't know.
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Funny books? Deadpool
Gauntlet is killing it right now.
Deadly Foes of Spider-Man by Nick Spencer.
Are you thinking of Superior?
Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Cool it, Marvel employee.
What, you're mad at him for helping you out?
Hey, thank you for the shout-out, but get the title correct.
Yeah.
Stop helping, I got it.
Stop trying to save me so I don't look like an asshole.
Well, that was my answer. That is very funny.
Cool.
Pete, do you have an answer? Because
Deadpool Gauntlet.
Last question, you answered a series that's been canceled for like 10 years.
Right, because I couldn't think of something.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I said Deadpool.
Nice.
Yeah. And anything Bendis does usually has some type of joke in it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The Adventure Time comic books from Boomer.
Great answer.
Great.
Yeah. Very funny.
Really funny.
Very good.
Yeah.
And there was Ryan North is the one who writes Adventure Time, right?
Correct.
He just released this book that I'm completely blanking on the title of.
Oh, yeah.
But it's about, The Midas Flesh. And it's about, I hesitate to ruin it a little bit, but basically it's the story of King Midas contrasted with people in the far future who are coming back and visiting Earth. And it's totally crazy, a little more serious than his Adventure Time stuff, but it's very funny at the same time.
Has that come out? Or did you just read it?
Yeah, first issue.
Oh, nice.
I think. Am I wrong?
Maybe. I don't know. I would want to buy that, though.
I don't know. It's pretty great. Check it out. Cool. There you go. That's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. And in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere, kicking it off, as we're going to do for the next several weeks, with The Walking Dead.
So the show
is back this Sunday night with Rick, Carl, Michonne. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
What'd you guys think? I think we loved the first half of this season.
Best part of the show yet.
So did it keep it going?
Yes.
Nope.
Okay.
Moving on.
Conversation over.
Pete, what did you think?
I really thought there was some really awesome parts to this. I mean, they did. What sucked about the ending is everybody got split up, so I had to start that way. And I was happy that it picked right up kind of at the kind of scene of the crime, if you will. But I love Michonne as just this kick-ass person. And I feel like showing her softer side a little bit is like something that doesn't work for me. But that being said, when she showed up on the porch, that was an amazing moment. Also for Carl.
Yeah, spoiler alert, you guys. Michonne showed up on a porch.
Yeah.
For all you porch.
But also, like, it was a great kind of Carl episode. And, like, when the part where he was just sitting on the roof, kind of like having that giant thing of pudding, I thought was like a great kind of like kid moment in this fucked up world.
Yeah, if you're looking, fans, I know you've been asking, we want Carl to really step up. do something amazing in an episode. He sat there and ate 112 ounces of pudding on television, and it was fantastic.
He is not going to be feeling good.
Now, what did you guys think about his monologue?
Those toilets don't flush, by the way, I don't think.
What?
Toilets. I don't know if they work. The 120.
It's okay. Letting... You could just move to another house.
Yeah.
We don't have that luxury in our lives. I wish we did.
And halfway through, he did this really interesting thing from his scene study class where he did a really great dramatic monologue that he was trying out for his teacher, Rick.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool. What you guys think?
I don't know if
that?
He's going to get the lead in the school play.
Yeah. So Rick is lying unconscious, and Carl does this monologue about hating his dad. And it really was the most high school, I'm trying out for something thing ever.
And, you know, I thought it was fun. Because what I really like about the show right now is it's taking its time. It's not melodramatic as much anymore. It's like show.
I mean, minus
that
the scene to his dad, which was.
Very melodramatic. Minus that.
I don't need you anymore, Dad.
But, I mean, I do think. But also, I liked it happened.
I don't want your life.
Yeah. I think we're slipping further into the early part of the 90s. You're losing
our... Can we get back to Crazy for You era?
Yeah, great. I think it was necessary that something like that had to happen. And it would have been weird if he was, like, talking to Glenn about that, probably. So I think he had to do it in that way.
Oh, I'm glad he did it because that's been kind of brimming for a season now. So, now they kind of got it out of the way and it can go to wherever it goes. I think the show gets better as it goes. But it's funny because between that and S.H.I.E.L.D., I think they're the most loved and hated shows on the internet. Yeah. Like, if you make one of those shows, regardless of whether it's good or bad, you're just going to get a mountain of shit.
Yeah.
But I think it's getting better as it goes.
It was upsetting that one part where Carl should have definitely gotten bitten. Like, they kept showing the zombie, like, go to take a bite of his ankle, but then they cut away and cut back, and it was, like, farther away from his ankle than it was, and then it would get to that same shot. It was really frustrating. I was like, no, he would have been bitten.
I thought it was great, though.
The most frustrating part for me is at the end of the episode, Rick has been unconscious on a couch for like 2 days. Carl comes back. He's tried to wake him a couple of times, and it hasn't worked. So there's a question of did Rick die or did he not? Carl sees his dad start going, and then falls off the couch. He's in darkness, starts to crawl over to Carl. And Carl is crying and pointing the gun at him. And he's like, I can't do it. Just eat me. Just eat me. And then he's like, Carl? And I feel like if that happened, if you're in a zombie apocalypse, the absolute first thing you do every time you wake up is say, I'm not a zombie.
No, I mean, that was definitely a dick move on his part.
Seriously.
That was definitely a dick move where I'm going to do the most zombie thing ever.
Well,
he was very sick.
Getting, like, he sounded like a zombie throughout most of it when he was kind of sick.
No, I get it. I get the point. And I even buy that Carl, having gone through everything he went through, would just give up at that moment.
Right.
But, yeah, Rick was not helping with doing the
crawling on the floor.
He was practically like, brains.
Yeah.
Your brain is healthy, right, Carl? I wake up every morning and say I'm not a zombie.
All right, let's turn from one comic book TV show to another. There have been a lot of announcements about Gotham, the young Batman show that's hitting Fox in the fall. First of all, Ben McKenzie from The O.C. is going to be young Commissioner Gordon. And then also was announced today they've cast a young Penguin, a young Alfred, and a bunch of other folks.
I've been dying for a young Alfred, you know? Just a young butler who's just out there ready to party.
What I like is they seem to be getting the cuteness factor right.
right. Yeah, Did you think they were going to blow that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the one thing Hollywood really nails.
I mean, like, Commissioner Gordon, he's a very cute man. And that's right. That's what I need.
Well, my
biggest concern is how cute the principal at Gotham High is going to be. Because he should be kind of like, I'm an adult, but I'm also kind of like a young, cute boy.
Right. Yeah. Like, how are they going to handle both the kid stories and the adult stories, or are they going to make them work with each other? You know,
I was so hoping it would just be Gotham Central, and it's looking like it's getting farther and farther away. I actually, who knows? Who knows what it is? You know, like, it's not done yet. It could be okay.
Sure.
But it definitely looks like they're going the CW route, even though it's on Fox.
It's like when they announced it, they announced it as a Commissioner Gordon show, which is a weird idea anyway, that it's like Commissioner Gordon begins and there's no villains or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, actually there's villains. Oh, also there's Batman.
Yeah.
But he's not Batman. So it's like they
just snuck up on what we like.
Yeah, halfway through that it was Smallville, but with Batman, and then they were already trapped into keeping it about Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's strange about it.
I think they might not know. honest critique about a lot of things that DC might be doing in other platforms. It seems like they're constantly changing based on what the wind blows. It's like, we're going to do Batman, and who knows? Maybe it's their thing all along, but it kind of seems like, oh, we're doing Batman and Superman. And then I feel like they sit next to some kid who goes, you know, it'd be cool if like Wonder Woman was in it. Oh, no, Wonder Woman's in this. Like, it kind of feels like everything is like, oh, you're going to do Gordon?
You know, it'd be cool if Batman was in high school.
Yeah, no, Batman's in high school. It just seems like, it doesn't seem like this coherent through line. It seems
Really smart kid who gives them all the answers?
Yeah,
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf.
He's not famous anymore.
I would say, other hand, though,
he's
famous
for great ideas in comics.
Yeah. He loves comics, apparently.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though,
Just to stop. Have you read his Watchmen? It's phenomenal.
Shia LaBeouf? Yeah. It's a great film.
He
directed it. And he also drew on the back of his paper bag that he was wearing the other day. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Alfred Begins when that comes.
Yes. Out. On the other hand, I would say The Flash is kind of getting everything right, at least it seems like. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the casting there, but they added Vibe is going to be on the show, which I actually think is
everyone's
kind of fun.
Number one fan.
Well, but Vibe makes sense in a world with The Flash. Like, they both have, you know, vibrational powers. Shut up.
You are clearly rationalizing that this
is
a good thing.
Also, they just announced today Tom Cavanaugh.
Hey,
gonna be on.
I love him.
Everybody loves Ed. Everybody loves Love Monkey.
Yep.
Wait, what is he going to be in?
He's going to be in The Flash. He's the guy who accidentally gives The Flash powers.
Oh, that's all right. I like him.
Yeah, that's cool. Jesse L. Martin is going to be in it.
Yeah, he's the
Detective
Lightning.
West.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But they're doing Barry Allen, though, right?
Yeah.
Boo!
Whatever happened to make you love Arrow? Is making, like, I feel like you have some weird virus, and it's making you love The Flash too. You're sick. I think you're very sick, and I'm worried for your future.
Yeah, well, it looks great, and Arrow was great this week too.
Yeah, I guess you just don't have
was.
Time.
Oh. You know what I like about Arrow?
What?
They get the cuteness factor right.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, Pete, do you want to take it away with Arrow?
Sure. Yeah. Arrow hates his mom, but he hooks up with Black Canary. Woohoo! I talked about it! Yeah!
So tonight we actually have an extra 10 minutes for Pete's Arrow Corner. You think you can fill it up with Arrow shit?
Sure. So to take it back a little bit, basically.
So I'm sorry, that's all the time we have for Pete.
And that's it for the Week, because that's what I do during Arrow usually.
That's it for the Week in Geek. Thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to turn to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, guys, this is where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simple raising of the hand. Simple raising of the hand.
All you have to do is raise your hand and you get $25.
Come on, man. Come on up, new guy.
Yeah.
Come on up.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on up, sir. Give him a round of applause.
Who is this handsome son of a gun?
Over here.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Bruce.
Bruce? Nice to meet you, Bruce. Audience, Bruce.
Hey, everybody. All right.
You Bruce Wayne?
I wouldn't reveal it if I was.
Oh, just like that. Yeah, okay. All right, so how this is going to work is I'm going to ask you a question, listen to all three possible
answers. Can they be about cat videos? That's literally all I know about.
Hey, no, it's all right. You're going to do fine.
I'm ready.
All right. Listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you win $25. Here we go.
No margin of error.
Okay, here we go. All right, so question number one. Why do you think Wolverine number one was bullshit? Is it A, because he had a gun, B, because he had bracelet claws, or is it C, the Shredder? So it's either A or it's B. I will literally accept either one because they're both equally bullshit. That Wolverine had a gun and then had bracelet claws.
I mean A and B?
Yes, you are correct, sir.
Woo!
It was a fucked up issue, and I wish I didn't read it. Can't take that back, though. All right, here we go. And question number two, in Forever Evil number 5, in this issue, who teams up with Batman? Is it A, Lex Luthor, B, Catwoman, or C, Krang? So it's either Lex Luthor, or it's B, Catwoman. Pick B.
I'll go with B.
Yeah, nice job. You are killing this.
Woo.
Okay, here we go. Question number three, in Deadpool the Gauntlet number 6... And I might be pronouncing her name wrong. Why does Shikla kiss Deadpool? Am I saying that right? Shikla. All right. Is it A, to suck out the evil Templar? B, to suck the life out of him? Or is it C, Rocksteady and Bebop?
There's no D.
So, nope, no. Nope.
Okay.
So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct, yeah. To suck out the evil Templar. Also, I said it before, but the gauntlet is awesome. Check it out. Congratulations.
I just got the first issue.
I'll give you a $25 gift card after the show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bruce.
Unbelievable. Okay, guys.
The gift card is given in the bathroom, just a heads up.
It's weird. I don't know why it does.
Our office.
Yeah. He's like, it's above my nuts.
Oh, my God.
Like all good things.
Yeah. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Yep.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Batman number 28. I haven't read it yet, but man, am I excited about it. Oh, wait, I have read it. And I am still looking forward to it. Even though I've read it, I'm still going
to
buy it.
I think you're looking backward to it.
I'm looking backward to it.
I'm looking forward to She-Hulk number one by...
oh, yeah.
Boner time.
You and me both.
Yeah, definitely. I think Charles Soule has been killing it, and I'm looking forward to...
He really has.
He's had a real renaissance in the last year.
Yeah, he's blowing up. The
His
guy's
Swamp Thing's
everything.
Very good. The Thunderbolts is very good.
We even had him on the show. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, we have several times.
Yeah,
I would consider him a friend.
Charles Soule, we could mention that Letter 44, number 4, comes out tomorrow. That's a cool indie series by him. About
how does he have this time to write so much stuff?
No, he actually laid it out in a blog post, and it's insane how he
Bless
does
you.
It. If you have a chance, I don't remember what the link is, but search for Charles Soule Time Management, and it's the craziest thing you've ever read. I actually wanted to mention Wolverine and the X-Men number 41 comes out, and I think, is that Jason Aaron's last issue? Or one of his last issues? One more?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we were talking about funny comic books before,
yeah.
And Wolverine and the X-Men is one of the funniest and most action-packed at the same time.
And emotional.
Yeah, it's going to suck to see Jason Aaron off the book. I'm looking forward to whatever comes next, but it has been a classic run out of time.
I believe Jason Latour is actually taking over the writing on that, which I'm excited about.
Okay.
Even though I like Jason Aaron.
Nick, what are you looking forward to?
Deadpool. I love Deadpool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I said it the last time I was here. I never really read Deadpool growing up because I was always like, it's Spider-Man, but with guns. This is bullshit. And through doing what Poe Sane and Duggan are doing, I get the character now, and I've gone back and reread a whole bunch of other stuff. I love the character now, and I really love what they're doing. The last arc, the kind of serious arc they had, was incredible.
Yeah.
Less jokes, but I absolutely loved it. I love the throwback issues.
Yeah.
Those have been incredible.
Yeah. They've been killing it.
Yeah. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Aliens versus Parker on trade on Amazon or your local comic book stores. Please check it out.
It's awesome.
That. Hound Marvel about bringing damage control back and having Paul and I write it.
Okay.
And that's about it.
All right. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you can know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com and Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank all of our fabulous interns, Ebon Bell, Tom Erdar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Trahan. We also want to thank Nick for being on the show.
Yeah!
And we want to thank everybody here at Fontana's.
Yeah, we do.
We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you coming out. Thanks so much. Don't.